possibility, I think I said it last week, if not the probability, that we shan't be back here again together. We're not sure about that, of course. But if not, a very big thank you. I was saying to someone today, I think it was, you know, my little wife, she's quite guileless. The most childlike person I've ever met. Not childish, but childlike. Never any gruffs. I've never heard a gossip in 57 years. Honestly, I've never heard a grumble. Now, she groans, of course. And God, although he punishes people for grumbling, he never punishes people for groaning. Well, now you know why I love her so much. So, thank you very much for your prayers, and we appreciate it very, very much indeed. So, the Lord bless you, and we'll continue to pray for you during the crusade, and trust that the message tonight will be from my heart, although we're not here. I've had a big burden this week about this meeting this evening. And I said, Lord, I just don't want to preach on that text. I just don't want to, because you had it preached on last Monday night. Week from Monday. And I've heard the tape, I heard the message, the tape a couple of times. And I had a confirmation tonight. Whenever I go to a meeting, and maybe Brother Frank and other preachers like to do the same, I'd like to have a confirmation that the message is from God. And one of our brethren tonight mentioned that very verse that our brother preached on last Monday. 2 Chronicles 7:40. And I said today, I said, Lord, I just don't want to preach on it. I don't want to preach on it, Lord. And you know, someone has used the expression, the pressure of the Spirit. And that was my experience today, and I had to keep coming back to it and coming back to it. And as I looked into it, I discovered, you know it so well, Brother mentioned it tonight in prayer. And you go through it, you see a word, if, of course, suggesting the word choice, if, just imagine, God giving you and me a choice. If, that's the word, choice that comes, and we look at that big little word, that was the expression that our brother used from the People's Church, I believe, pastor of the People's Church there, that's the expression he used. A big little word. So, when we see that word, if, we think of the word choice. If my people who are called. So, we see the word under the next heading, our calling, the word calling. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. This is the challenge, the word challenge, under the third heading. Third heading. God is saying, and our brother very clearly, forcefully, with the help of the Holy Spirit, pointed this out last week, last Monday. God is saying, I will hear from heaven. I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins. I will heal their land. So today, on this last day or two, as I thought about the message, going through it, I said, oh God, I need wisdom. This, and very often, I, as a preacher, I before a meeting, I'd say, Lord, you say in your word that you bless those who are foolish and those who are weak. You bless the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And you bless the weak things of the world to confound the mighty. Lord, I willingly place myself as your servant in those two categories that I might be able to be saying after the service or during the service, God the Holy Spirit is in the message. Because I, in my flesh, I'm so foolish, and God is giving me wisdom. I, in my flesh, I'm so weak that God is giving me strength by the power of the Spirit, knowing, therefore, that it's not I, but the Spirit of God bringing the message. So I said, Lord, I must have message. I must have in the message, I must have the message with your wisdom. I must have your strength. I must have the strength of the Holy Spirit of God as I present this message tonight. I don't want to say anything at all that's going to hurt anyone except yours truly. And you've heard it so often when we point one finger, we're pointing three back at ourselves. So if the message is to anyone tonight in this meeting, I want you to believe me that as a servant of God, and I'm saying this in the presence of God, I am not hitting at anyone except yours truly. I want this message to come home to my heart, because I still have this old nature, of course, as you have. So I want the Spirit of God tonight to bring this message, first of all, to my heart. Now, let me say this. If there's anyone, dear one, in this service this evening, any brother or sister, and as we go through the message, and you feel the convicting power of the Spirit of God, please, whatever you do, don't blame the preacher. Because I've waited upon God to give me the message, to give me the wisdom, and I've said, Lord, I'm going to take it to my own heart first. Please, please, please. Do not let anyone in that service tonight think that I have listened to any gossip. I don't listen to gossip. But I've been coming here now for 34 years. And I get the same impression that our dear brother, the pastor of People's Church, has had. I think he said he'd been coming here for 37 years. And I look back to the early days when we first started coming here. Why, the island was a little paradise compared with what it is today, and I'm talking spiritually and morally. And as I thought of this verse today, I thought, well now, if the Lord doesn't return within the next 25 years, I wonder what this church and the other churches on the island are going to be spiritually and morally. You see, something's happening here in Spanish Wells. And any preacher who comes, if he only comes for a week or 10 days, 2 weeks as we've done, he doesn't have to listen to any gossip. He mustn't listen to any gossip. But somehow there's a sense of something that's not right. Oh, of course, there's the remnant of God's people here, in every one of these three churches, and even in that little exclusive church, we mustn't forget them, they're still the people of God, and they're members of the body of Christ. In every one of the churches, there's a remnant. Some, maybe a dozen, two dozen people in the three main churches, and those people love the Lord, they're devoted to the Scriptures, and they're endeavoring to walk in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yet somehow there's something. There's a growing awareness that things are not right. That there's a wrong relationship again and again and again, possibly, among people. That these relationships have been broken. And although people say hello and maybe shake hands with one another, somehow there's not the same spirit of fellowship. There's not the sense of the power of the Spirit of God as once there was. Now, I could be wrong here. And I hope my brethren will put me right afterwards. But when I come to this text, I discover this choice. The choice that God has given you and me as His people. He's saying, if. Now, He's not commanding us. The one that commanded, let there be light. The one who commands the blessing, as we heard on Friday evening, if the brethren dwell together in unity. The one who commands light to come out of darkness. He's not commanding. He's just drawing near to you and to me on the threshold almost of this crusade, which well could be, it could be at the very last crusade here in Spanish Wells before the Lord comes. It could be. It might not be. But He's saying, if my people, we have a choice. We believe in the sovereign will of God. We believe in election. But we also believe that God has given you and me a free will. So this is the simple message that I bring at the beginning of this message this evening. Choosing my words very, very carefully, I assure you. As you, dear folk here in the Spanish Wales, as you face the prospect of that tent being erected just 100 yards or so away, and you think of members of your family and neighbours who are still going to a lost eternity, are you willing to face up to the challenge? This is God's recipe for revival, beloved. This is God's formula for fellowship with God. And not only fellowship with God, but fellowship one with the other. And I wonder if we really knew. If we really knew how many people on this island, in every church, are not in fellowship with God because they're out of fellowship with one another. Don't expect God to answer your prayers if you're not prepared to get right with Him and therefore get right with your brother or sister. No, 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 no. It's the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man that availeth much. The man who is right with his God. The man who is right with his family. The man who is right with his church. The man who is right with his employer or employees. The man who pays his customs bills as he comes into the country. The man who pays his taxes. The man who can look into the face of his brother or sister in the church and say, brother, sister, I love you. And mean it. Leave right from the heart. I love you. I really love you. Instead of this, and I go from church to church on both sides of the country, not only the assemblies, and I discover there's a falling away. And there's some kind of condition where people are going through the motions. We wouldn't dare to miss the breaking of bread service. And we wouldn't dare perhaps miss the Tuesday night meeting or whatever meeting it might be. And yet we come and we go through the motions. And we go home, we do the same week after week and month after month and year after year. And the Spirit of God is grieved with us. And then we come and we pray for revival. And God says, you put your heart right with me and one with another before you expect me to pour out the Spirit of God there on Spanish Wells. If my people, you belong to his people. You and I belong to the church. We are members one of another. And one member of the body cannot say to another member of the body, I have no need of you. We're united in Christ, but very often we're disunited in the flesh. We are united in the faith. God sees one church here on Spanish Wells, but very often we're disunited. And because of it, there's discord out of the disunity. And we wonder why there's no blessing. So if my people who are called by my name, you and I have a calling. And the calling means that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has placed upon us all that that name stands for. Now, take the name Christ. You see, the Christians, they were called Christians, weren't they, first at Antioch? But what does it mean? Called by his name. Well, when we think of his name, we think of his compassion. And when we turn over to the New Testament and we come to the Epistle of Paul to the Church at Rome, we discover that the Holy Spirit of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And that means as we yield to the Spirit of God, so we can love everybody. I sat in my home some years ago over there in Cardiff. And I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I can't love that brother. And as I sat there, suddenly, again, it wasn't a voice. It wasn't an audible voice. It was an impression. If that impression had been put into a voice, to some kind of language, then the voice would have said, I know you can't love him. And I understand why you can't love him. This man was a man who would take away another person's character as easily as blinking an eyelash. And as I sat there in my chair over there in Wales, I just automatically sat up, physically. I knew that this voice was, well, this impression, it wasn't an audible voice. I believed right then that this was the language, the impression of the Holy Spirit of God. And this is what he said. You let me love him. You let me love him through you. You hand yourself over to me. You hand over your body to me, according to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. Bodies, a living sacrifice. Holy. It's got to be holy. Don't dare present the body. If there's any dominating sin in your life, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's your acceptable worship. And I said, Lord, I've never seen like this before. I can't love him. The old flesh doesn't want to love him. I could easily hate him. So I hand it over to you. I hand the burden over to you. I ask you to love that brother through me. And I can tell you that, and I would use the words of the Apostle Paul, of course, I would say that I love that brother, and yet not I. That's precisely what Paul would say. I love that brother tonight as much as any other brother that I know in the faith, in the church. But it's not my love, it's his love. It's the love of God shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, beloved brother, sister, can you honestly, and again I bring it to my own heart, can you honestly say that you've allowed the Spirit of God to take over your heart and love that brother, love that sister, as God wants you to love him or her? It's not your love. It's not human love. It's not the highest kind of quality of human love. It's agape love. It's the love of God shed abroad in the heart. And only the Christian can know that love. The unregenerate person just can't know it. That name stands for compassion. It stands for holiness. And God tells us very, very clearly to be holy. Be ye holy, even as I am holy. We cannot, of course, really expect to know the quantity of his love. It's vast. His love is beyond limit. There's no capacity to it. But we can know the quality of it. We can know that love as and in the measure in which we yield to that love in our hearts. That love to brothers and sisters, other brothers and sisters. You see, what I'm trying to say, beloved, is this. In 25 years, if the Lord doesn't come, there's an awful possibility. Tell me if I'm wrong. Many of you here tonight, you're going to go home, and with us, we'll be home in heaven within 25 years. And what about these young people who are growing up in this land? This is why it needs to be healed. Are we really in earnest as we pray for them? Are we crying to God for their conversion? Oh God, look, my dear brothers and sisters, why don't we spend a time, at least a day, once a month, fasting and praying? You show me from the Word of God where fasting is wrong. Show me from the New Testament. Show me from the words of the Lord Jesus where a time of fasting, it doesn't only mean fasting from food, of course, it means other things, and I needn't go into detail. But I believe if we really knew and believed that these dear young people who need our prayers were going to a lost eternity, we'd be prepared to spend at least an hour, maybe a day, before God and calling upon God to work and move. I tell you, I believe if 12 people here in this very island were to get together and spend a day or two in prayer each week before the crusade, you could expect anything to happen here in Spanish Wells. But we're not prepared to do it. You're not prepared to do it, perhaps. And again, I'm speaking to my own heart. I go to churches and I find that there are people there unsaved. I believe they've been in the church, in the assembly, maybe for years and years and years. Children of God's children. And how they can sit under the sound of the gospel, I don't know, but they do. And they're hardened. They come. They enjoy the hymn singing. And they go away. Sometimes they'll say, why? That was a good sermon. But the word hasn't entered. and they become gospel hardened to the very message they've heard dozens, if not hundreds of times down through the years. Oh my, if we really believed that these folk were going to a lost eternity, how much better, how much greater would be our praying. So, this name stands for holiness. Can anyone point the finger at your life? Is your life blameless right here in Spanish Wells? If not, you better do something about it, beloved. You better do something about it, because if the Spirit of God really does come, then I tell you, he'll begin to deal with you. He did it right after Pentecost with Ananias and Sapphira, the man who lied to God. And if you read chapter 5 of the Acts of the Apostles, you'll discover that it was God, the Holy Spirit, and he called God, and God dealt with those two because of the mighty, mighty, supernatural, sweeping, moving of the Spirit of God that existed right there in the church. You can't play with God. You can't play, why I can't, you and I can't play with God, this Holy Spirit of God. We're playing with the things of God, beloved. And we don't mean what we say when we pray. And here men and women, young people, are going to a lost eternity right here. Some of them living in sin. And they need our prayers. They need us to get into the presence of God and cry and cry and cry. Oh God, do something. And I say, when we call upon God in that way, call upon me and I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. When we're in earnest, dead earnest about it, then God will begin to do something. I've seen it again and again down through the earth as we've had crusades over there with different other preachers in England. It always happens. God is looking for sincerity. God is looking for men and women to be real about their praying, about their living, their holy living. And of course, the life of Christ and the name suggests the righteousness, and that's different from holiness. Holiness belongs to that which is in. Righteousness belongs to that which is out, with outside, outside. It's a result of the holy living. Righteous, again the word. Living right. Just like Simeon. Just man. Just and devout, Dr. Luke says. Just in relation to God, right in relation to God. Devout in relation to God, just in relation to men. That's it. No wonder the Holy Ghost was upon him. And he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And he had the revelation of the coming of the Messiah right there, holding him in his own arms. God bless him. Because he was right with him. And right in men, and devout. And God brought the Spirit upon him, not in him. That came with Pentecost, as you know. Then, of course, we have the influence of that name. How excellent is thy name in all the earth. Why, the influence of the name of Jesus. What influence are you and I having as we try to live out that name? If that name belongs to us in the sense that we are Christians, that the name of Christ belongs to us because we're followers of Christ, we believe in Christ, does that influence, the influence of that name spread to the other people in the island? What influence is my life where I live? What influence is my life as I go from place to place? What influence is your life in your home, in your business, beloved? Then, of course, as we think of the name, we think of suffering, don't we? And those who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And in the world we shall have tribulation, said the Lord. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. That's why you and I can overcome the world. And that brings me to the last letter in the word Christ. You've seen the acrostic there, haven't you? The letter T stands for triumph. There's triumph in Christ. There's no need for you and me to fail. No need at all for us to sink in despair. No need at all to live a day-by-day life that's a life of absolute defeat. No, said Paul, he ever leadeth me in triumph. My life, said Paul, my life is a constant pageant of triumph in Christ. Oh, wretched man that I am, chapter 7, looking inside, as I said the other day, 33, I believe, personal pronouns, the letter I. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And as he was writing, I believe, as he was writing, the Spirit of God gave him the answer, gave him the key to a life of victory. And it's very significant that in chapter 8, he's dealing with the life that's in the Holy Spirit, chapter 8 of Romans. Oh, he said, I thank my God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the name, the calling, called by his name, if my people are called by my name. Ah, now, here's the challenge. Shall humble themselves in the sight of God, placing the self like where it should be, on the cross. Denying ourselves, taking up the cross daily. Paul clearly teaches that, doesn't he? Romans chapter 6. And we have to, as Paul said again, writing to the church, to Galatia, said, I am crucified with Christ. That's the old I. The old man. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. Here's the new I. Yet not I. But Christ liveth in me. Now, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith or through faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So it's a life of faith. And anything outside the life of faith is sin, as Paul says. That which is not of faith is sin. And if we're not trusting God today, and that includes yielding our hearts and lives and bodies to him, if we're not living moment by moment, if we're not casting upon him all the burdens, and some of you folk have burdens here tonight. You have family troubles and bodies. I know you have. And if you're learning, I'm sure you are, learning to roll the burden upon the Lord, casting all your care upon him, and leaving it there. That's living by faith. And then trusting God to undertake whatever the problem. My, I've met some Christians, and I tell you, if I were to tell you some of the stories, your hair would almost stand on end. Some of the problems that they have. Physical problems, mental problems, family problems. Some of the godliest people that I know. Here's the challenge that comes to my heart. Here's the challenge. Humble yourselves. Put yourself right with me. Put the old man in the right place. Let him deny himself, said the Lord Jesus, and take up his cross and follow me. And really what it means, literally in the Greek, let him deny his self. That's it. Let him deny his self-life. That's it. And pray. Now, before we begin to deal with the matters of prayer, before we begin to pray, then obviously what the Holy Spirit is saying, we've got to put the self right, right. We've got to get right with God, right with one another. There it is again. Humble oneself. Get right. Deny self. And pray. 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 Elijah prayed in his praying. A man who got hold of God and wouldn't let go. Chapter 5 of James. Prayed in his praying. And the rain came. As you know. That's the kind of praying that God is looking for, beloved. It's so easy, so wonderful to come to the prayer meeting. And it's so wonderful, of course, and thank God for everyone who takes part in our prayer meetings. Thank God for the prayers that we've had this evening. But the challenge that comes to my heart and maybe to yours is this. How much praying do we do in secret? How much praying are you doing in your own heart and home? Praying for this island, praying for the moving of the Spirit of God. And if you get a revival here, you'll never forget it. You'll never, never forget it. And you'll never stop talking about it. You'll praise God. The nights will flee. You'll not want to go home from the tent. You'll want to stay there. You'll praise God. And we had a taste, really a touch, a taste of revival. Our daughter was 1 year old. It was the year 1950. Down in a little Welsh place called Penny Grove. Brother Frank went quite near there, I think, when he went to the church where the great revival commenced. And I remember going there, and we stayed with a couple. They've told you this, I can't remember. Some of you may have heard it. We stayed with a brother and a sister, and one night, I think it was the first night, Elsie said, Bill, what's wrong with... And she mentioned the name of the brother with whom we were staying. I said, I believe it's conviction. I believe it's conviction. Those saints had been praying. The older folk had been meeting every morning at about 10 o'clock and praying right through till lunchtime. Praying, getting hold of God, crying out for a moving of the Spirit of God. Well, I came with a Welsh preacher. He preached in Welsh, I preached in English. And there was no order and yet no disorder about the meeting. Someone would start off a hymn, somebody else would get up and pray. Another brother would say, let's read so-and-so. There was no question of time. We went on. We didn't want to go home. And then the Spirit of God would say to me or my colleague, you preach. And we knew which one had to preach. And I would get up and preach in English, and maybe the next night I would preach again. Or it might be him, and then the following night might be him again. And he'd preach in Welsh. And souls were being saved. And there was no advertising. They hadn't even advertised the meetings. But the Spirit of God was there. And the first three or four nights, this dear brother in the home was groaning. And I was convinced that it was conviction. And he had something in his heart about some brethren, somewhere else. And every time he opened his mouth, almost in the home, this is why I knew it was the conviction. Every time he would begin talking about those brethren and the things that they had done to him. And he had a bitter spirit. It was a root of bitterness. And he was delivered. There was such a spirit of conviction. The Holy Spirit delivered him. And he was free, absolutely free. Before, he'd been bound, absolutely bound, with his spirit of bitterness and malice. Word mentioned last week by a brother, pastor from the People's Church. And the blessing came. And I tell you, I'm not ashamed to tell you this. You can say I'm wrong. You can tell me I'm unscriptural. You can show your Bible to me and point to the verses if you like. But one morning in that brethren, it was a brethren assembly. It wasn't a Pentecostal assembly. In that meeting, one morning before the blessing started, suddenly it seemed as though we had an upper room experience. Oh, we didn't talk in tongues. There were no gifts of the Spirit mentioned. The ones mentioned, of course, in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. But the Holy Spirit was there. And even some of those very, very strict brethren, old brethren, graybeards, dear old sisters, godly sisters, they were moved because they were filled with the Spirit of God. Now, you report me to the brethren at home if you like, but they know the story too. But that's precisely what happened. And the blessing started, and it moved through the village, and people were being saved. And they were coming because they didn't know why they were coming. Something was happening in the church. And people were getting saved, getting transformed. They were paying their debts. And the wrong relationship were being mended. Husband and wife were back together again. It was wonderful, wonderful. It was revival. Just a taste of it. And one dear old brother, I've never forgotten him because his name was the same as mine. Both names. William Davis, his name was. A dear old brother who'd been saved in the Welsh revival. And he came up to me after. He said, Brother Bill, with tears. He said, Bill, he said, this is just like the Welsh revival. Oh, it's only a touch of it, but it's just like another Welsh revival in capsule form. Now, I believe you can have a revival right here, greater, greater, much greater, of course. And if you don't have a revival, dear friends, God only knows what's going to happen to this church. In 25 years, they may close it down because the awful, awful, awful hurricane of evil and immorality sweeping through this land may mean that every church will be empty because people won't want to come. There'll be such an awful spirit here. The demons and the devil himself will be in charge. And maybe those godly people belonging to the remnants that I've been talking about, they've gone to heaven. And some young people may be trying to put things together. And they can't because of the awful power of the demons that have come in and swept in. Just like what Brother Grayling said the other night. And I believe that the demons from hell, they're increasing their activity because we're getting so near the second coming of the Lord Jesus. And I have to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of this talk here tonight. And just what I've said, oh, forgive me if there's one note of harshness in my manner. Come and tell me, Bill, that was too harsh. And I'll say, Brother, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I wanted to come out from my heart with love, tenderness. I want to see, as every other preacher who comes here, I'm sure wants to see, this moving of the Spirit of God and not this downward trend towards spiritual destruction. So we come now to the contract, very quickly. Here's the contract. God says, all right, you do what I say, and here's what I promise you. I'm putting it in a different way from what our dear brother, the pastor, gave last Monday week. He said, if you do that, this is what I'll do for you. I will hear from heaven. I will. Put the emphasis where you want. But I think it should be on the word will. Or the two words. I will. I will. I will hear from heaven. And I will forgive your sins. Again, we heard it, didn't we? If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. Brothers, sisters, get among the others and confess one another. Even if you think that other brother is wrong and you're right, do what the Lord Jesus said. Go to him, Matthew 18. Go and put it right. And if he won't listen, take a couple of elders with you. And then if he or she won't listen, bring it to the church. Now, if we'd done that down through the years, if we'd adopted that formula that the Lord Jesus gave, then there wouldn't be, well, there wouldn't be very much disunity. And again, I come back to this. I go to churches in England, and you can write the word Ichabod over it. Many of them. Many, many of them. 200 in London, since the war. Closed down. Teaching, you couldn't better the teaching. You couldn't better the men, great men, Bible teachers, who were coming to those assemblies, and yet they're closed down. And around the corner, there's a Baptist church or a Pentecostal church, and people are loving one another. And there's no disunity. People love one another. And they're seeing blessing every week. Souls are being saved. And yet, year after year, I went to one assembly in London, and we had one soul saved, and they were talking about it for the following year. Now it's closed down. Around the corner, this Pentecostal church, a Baptist church, and every week people are there. You can sense the power, the presence of the Spirit of God, and souls are being saved, week after week, month after month. And they don't have the teaching that we've got. They don't know anything about the offerings and the tabernacle and the feasts of Jehovah and the types and the shadows, but they know the power. They know the power. They know the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I'm going to finish with this story. And you have to forgive me if I take 2 minutes longer. Well, maybe I can get it in 2 minutes. I told this story some years ago. And the older ones will remember it. I believe Brother Frank will remember it because once or twice he's mentioned it to me. And I think, Frank, I'm not sure, I may have taken you to the church where this happened, our assembly. Just about 400 yards from where we live. It was during the war. And in that church, it was the mother church of the assemblies. We have 25 churches in Cardiff and District, including Brother Bernard. 4 miles from where we are, 25 or 26 assemblies. Some of them large, some of them medium, some of them small. This was a large church. It was a thriving church. Men who worked on the sea, men who were channel pilots and dock pilots, some men of substance, wealthy men. And do you know, oh, thank God this is the exception rather than the rule. Now you'll remember the story, I'm sure many of you. They were quarreling there. They were disunited there. There was no love there. They had some of the finest Bible teachers, and I used to go and sit and listen to these great Bible teachers, and they'd open the Word, and I'd be thrilled as I'd listen to the minister of the Word of God. And the trouble got so, I mustn't say any more. It degenerated. I can't tell. I'm not going to tell you publicly. But one day in England, I'd gone into the army, and I'd come out discharged because of my vision. One day, one of our fighter planes was chasing a German bomber over England and Wales. And this German bomber the pilots began to drop their bombs outside the city to get rid of the load so the plane might go faster. Then it came over Cardiff. 300,000 people in our city. Dozens and dozens and dozens of churches and mission halls and a great big cathedral and many assemblies, as I've told you. And he had one bomb, the pilot had one bomb left. And he dropped that bomb. And that bomb dropped just in front of that building that I've talked about, where these people were disunited and they were almost hating one another. And other things that I can't tell you publicly. And that building, it wasn't destroyed. The saints there, they scattered. God scattered them. Sent them to other churches. in the district. And I remember going I was just young, not long out of the army, married just about a year or so, I think. I remember going and looking in front of the church, and there was that great big blackboard. And the lettering in gold lettering, you know, gilt lettering, gathered in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Saints! Saints gathered in the name of the Lord Jesus! They weren't gathered in the name of the Lord Jesus. They could have put 100 boards outside. They were gathered in the name of the flesh. And the devil was among them. And God came and one bomb, destroyed that. Not the church, not the people of God. Almost destroyed the building. But the people of God were separated. Now, if I have a word, and it's a word of love to you, dear people, I'm not one worried. I can say this with all the love. I love you people, and I'm not one bit worried at my age anyway, because the Lord's coming, I've got to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It doesn't bother me one bit, it doesn't another, because I love you so much, and you're so kind. But if you don't ask me again, so what? I've got to meet it at the judgment seat of Christ. My dear brothers and sisters, in the name of God, for the sake of those dear young people who are going to a lost eternity, get right with one another if there's anything wrong. And wherever I go, both sides of the Atlantic, almost every church, not only the brethren, almost every church, there's a problem. The devil's getting in, and he's splitting families. He's splitting families. He's splitting businesses. He's splitting people in their businesses together, Christians. And he's coming and splitting churches. I can take you to church after church after church where this is happening. And you and I have to resist the devil. And we do it in the power of the Spirit of God. And in the love of the Spirit as we yield to His Spirit and His control, His Lordship, day by day. Forgive me, dear ones, forgive me. Don't think that I've hit at anybody. I haven't, except this guy here. I've given the message tonight that I believe the Holy Spirit has given me. I didn't want to give it. But I've given it trusting that this wonderful moving of the Spirit of God will come. And we'll hear over there in Green Turtle, God has come. The Spirit of God has come. You've never had a revival, per se, in the Bahamas. Never, never. This may be it. And it could be your last chance. Are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to accept the challenge? Are you willing to humble yourself and pray? And seek His face, and I've left this to the last, to go back to it, because this is the most important. Turn from your wicked ways, and if you don't think they're wicked, you ask the Spirit of God to tell you whether they are not. And He'll soon tell you if they are. He'll soon tell you. I can speak boldly because I'm not hitting at anybody. Again, I mean that right from my heart. God bless you. Let's pray. Part us with your blessing, Lord. I trust that this message has been given in love to your people here. Forgive your servant, Lord, if there's a note of harshness. Forgive him, Lord, if the message, I don't believe it, but I believe the message has really come from you. But if anything has been said, Lord, that has been wrong and not in accordance with your Holy Spirit, and if I've grieved any dear one here inadvertently, forgive me. I would ask that person to forgive me because I haven't hit at him or her. You know my heart, Lord. Oh God, for the sake of these dear young people, for the sake of these young people who are going to a lost eternity brought up in Christian homes. Oh God, send the power of your Spirit during the crusade and grant that the work may commence tonight, the work of revival in each heart, in my heart. Part us with your blessing. Accept our thanks for one another. Bless our loved ones. Bless our families. Bless his dear brother Lloyd and his family. Bless the young woman, brother Chad's daughter in hospital. Just bless them. And we lovingly commit them to you and all your people everywhere. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Can all the people say amen? Thank you very much indeed. If you can't, come and see me. Do come and see me. Don't go away and say, Brother Bill said this, and take it out of context. Come and see me. And if I said anything that I oughtn't to